Well, it's really wonderful to see all of you here on a beautiful summer day, and it's been a wonderful time of worship already, and we look forward to opening God's Word, and we'll be looking this morning at Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. We've been working through the Sermon on the Mount since January, and in particular, the last few weeks, we've been working through the Lord's Prayer, and are just very, very excited to be doing that. And before I do so, I do want to call your attention. If you are a member of this church, you should have received a newsletter. And in that newsletter, I presented to you a kind of common, unified effort we're going to be doing this coming fall and spring. This will start at the beginning of September, a unified Sunday school effort around the Gospel Project Sunday school curriculum. You know, for many, many years, Sunday schools were more or less united around certain curriculum. And the modern age, we've kind of let classes within reason do what they will, and I think that's good. I think that the kind of buffet approach to Sunday school has merit in that it presents variety, and I think that is good. But every so often, it is good for us as a church to come together and remind each other that we are together as an authentic family around the whole gospel for the glory of God and the reaching of the nations. So what we're going to be doing this fall and spring is calling all of our Sunday school classes together around this common curriculum for a few reasons. First of all, because we are impressed, I think, with the approach of this curriculum and the way it ties every story of Scripture into the overarching big story of Scripture, creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. And, you know, as a staff, part of our responsibility is to step back and say, can we make sure that we are teaching theological, biblical doctrine in a way that honors God? And this is one of our efforts to do that. So for a one-year period, we're going to ask you to be understanding with us and work with us, and let's all come together. And another thing we're going to be doing in the fall is I'm going to stop the Exodus sermon series and preach on that passage from Sunday school. So what we're going to do for a one-year period, fall and spring, is bookend our Sundays with everyone studying the same lesson. Again, your teachers have their own personalities and styles. Your class will still be uniquely your class, but we'll all be on the same page. And then on Sunday nights, which I want to encourage you to be here, we'll be studying as well that passage. So this is going to be kind of a year-long intensive effort at biblical and theological education. We're very, very excited about this. Over the next number of weeks, you'll hear teachers give some brief testimonies. Our children have actually already been doing the Gospel Project, and it's been encouraging to hear their parents and the kids talk about what this has meant to them. We're very excited about this. I know that change is a very frightening idea. I know that we all get pretty comfortable, but I just want to thank you in advance for your wonderful, sweet, positive, understanding attitudes and sense of unity. Amen? Amen. So, it's going to be great. We're excited about that. We're really glad that you're here today, and we'll be unpacking that over the weeks to come and letting you know what that means, but I think you're really going to enjoy that. Certainly want to encourage our classes as well to get there and invite their roles and invite their friends, say, hey, man, we're excited about what we're doing in Sunday school. This is going to be a neat, unified, church-wide effort. I think it's going to be really, really great. This morning, we are excited to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Matthew 6:11 is the fourth of six petitions or requests in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. The first is that God's name would be hallowed. The second is that his kingdom would come. The third is that his will would be done. The fourth is that he would give us this day our daily bread. I thought it might be nice here at the beginning of the sermon to show you an example of a terrible prayer. The opposite prayer, a kind of anti-Lord's Prayer, if you will. In the 1965 movie Shenandoah, Jimmy Stewart plays Charlie Anderson, and his wife has passed away, and he is sitting with all of his children at the table, and he does not feel particularly grateful to God. So he asks his children to bow their heads, and he offers the following prayer. I think we have it here on the screen. Behold.
Lord, we cleared this land, we plowed it, sowed it, and harvested. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here, we wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you just same anyway, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Amen.
If you wanted to hear the opposite of give us this day our daily bread, that would be it. In case the echo was too much for you, he prayed, Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested it. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog-bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you, Lord, just the same for the food we're about to eat. Amen. That's a terrible prayer. He's a great actor. We all love Jimmy Stewart, but really a terrible prayer that he was acting out there. I think what makes that prayer so terrible is the utter lack of dependence. There's no sense of dependence in there. It's a profoundly sarcastic, if we're going to be even more uncharitable, we might say mildly blasphemous prayer, basically in which he says, hey, I really have no reason to thank you because we did it all ourselves, but nonetheless, we want to thank you for this daily bread. The fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is the exact opposite of that. It is a prayer of simple, beautiful dependence upon God. Contrast Jimmy Stewart's prayer with the prayer of George Mueller, that great British man of God in the 19th century. For pretty much the whole of the 1800s, or the great bulk of it, George Mueller had an amazing presence in terms of building orphanages and affecting the lives of orphans for God. Countless thousands of orphans on the streets of England, London, were taken in by George Mueller and were fed. And if you've ever read a biography of George Mueller, you'll know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, you really, really should. You should read the journals or the biography or anything you can on George Mueller. He made a determination to never ask for money. And it's just an amazing story of day after day after day, instance after instance of God providing what they needed. George Mueller said one day his pantry was empty. He had just enough food for a meager lunch. And he bowed his head and he prayed. And he said this, quote, when I gave thanks after lunch, I asked God to give us our daily bread, meaning literally that he would give us some bread for the evening. While I was praying, there was a knock on the door. A poor sister came in and brought us part of her dinner and 5 shillings. Later, she also brought us a large loaf of bread. What does it mean to pray, give us this day our daily bread? That prayer is rooted in two ideas. Number one, that God is good. And number two, that we are utterly dependent upon the goodness of God for our survival. Number one, God is good. Amen? Number two, that we are utterly dependent upon the goodness of God for our survival. Jesus even said that good fathers give their sons bread. Do you remember in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Then this, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Bad fathers give their sons stones instead of bread. And the great theological thought there is that God gives us bread. He is good. So what is this? Let's unpack this. What is this prayer for daily bread? Two things. First of all, this, the prayer for daily bread is a faith-fueled trust that God will provide our daily needs. It is faith-fueled in that the impulse behind it is faith. To pray, God, give us this day our daily bread, is to pray, God, give us enough to live. I was really frustrated earlier this week. I was reading some of the patristic comments about this passage. I don't think I'll try that again. So I'm going to have to tuck and roll down the steps. It's going to be like a 4th of July jamboree, you know. But I was reading some of the patristic comments, which are the statements of the early church fathers. You know what one of the early church fathers said, I think, very, very wrongly about this? He said, this prayer for daily bread can't literally be about bread because it is insulting to ask God for something so simple as bread. It has to be a reference to spiritual bread. To which I say, Bread is not a small deal to the man who's starving. It may be to us. We let more food go bad in our pantries than most of the world will ever have in their pantries. But let me say that I think the simple meaning of this in the first sense, we'll discuss the spiritual sense secondly, but the simple meaning of this is that we're asking for bread to live. We are people of the earth, and we need to live. And so we pray and we ask God, give us this day our daily bread. Now, a few things. This prayer of dependence is, first of all, a daily prayer of dependence. Sometimes we focus on the word bread in daily bread and forget the fact that we are to pray daily for bread. How do we know that? Because it makes no sense to pray monthly for daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread assumes daily prayer, right? Honest question, honest. Just be honest with yourself. You don't have to raise your hand unless you want to just feel profoundly ashamed. How many of you did not pray every day this week? Truthfully, how many of you went a whole day without asking God that his name would be hallowed, that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done, that he would give you daily bread? You know who has no problem with this? People without bread. People without bread pray daily for bread. You know who does have a problem with it? Wealthy Americans with lots of bread. It's amazing how the bank account affects the prayer life, isn't it? It's hard to pray for daily bread when your pantry is full of cake. But to most people on the earth, this makes perfect sense. Give us this day our daily bread. This assumes that we will pray every day. When Alfred Delp was waiting to be executed in a Nazi prison, he wrote this about bread. He said, only one who has known the effect hunger can have on every life impulse can appreciate the respect in which bread is held and what the perpetual struggle for daily bread really means. I remember when I read the classic old missionary biography, Bill Wallace of China. You ever read that? You really should read Bill Wallace of China. Young Southern Baptist doctor from Nashville who in his late 30s, if I recall, went to China. This would have been in the 40s. And he gave his life to the Chinese people as a surgeon, and he presented the gospel to these people. I'll never forget one of the little scenes in which they were under attack and they were having to flee, and there wasn't enough food, and Bill Wallace gave to one of the poor elderly women his bowl of rice. He said, oh, I have plenty. He said, I have plenty. You have my rice. She was eating the bowl of rice, and Bill Wallace disappeared. And one of the other missionaries who had stayed went around the back of the camp and found him in tears, pulling pieces of burned rice off the bottom of the pot, trying to eat. It's an amazing thing, daily bread. It matters when you don't have it. I sometimes wonder if we're too rich to be great at prayer. If the banks shut down, we'd all be great at it. We would know what it is to literally depend on God. Give us daily bread, or we're going to die. This is daily bread. It is the daily prayer for bread. There was a rabbi ben Jakai, and his disciples came to him, and they were questioning him about the fact that in the Exodus, you remember in the Exodus, God rained manna on the earth? Remember this, manna? And he gave just enough for the day, remember? Enough manna for the day. And the disciples of the rabbi came to him and asked him, why did God not give manna for the week? And the rabbi said this, ben Jakai said this. He said, let me tell you a story. He said, there once was a king whose son received an allowance. And the first year, he gave the son the entire allowance on January the 1st. And he did not see his son again until the next January the 1st. The next year, he gave his son one day's worth, and he saw his son every day. Give us this day daily bread. Is it possible that the bread given in daily portions is intended to drive us to daily prayer, to daily dependence on God? Secondly, it is a prayer, still under the first heading here, about this prayer being a faith-fueled trust that God will provide. It's also a prayer for sufficiency, not extravagance. Marie Antoinette, supposedly, although I don't think she actually said it, said, "Let him eat cake." Jesus doesn't say, "Give us this day our daily cake. Give us this day our daily Krispy Kremes." As if the hot light is always on in heaven. Wouldn't that be awesome? By the way, the hot light is always on in heaven. I think that's in the Book of Opinions, chapter 2, that when you die, over the gates of heaven is the big Krispy Kreme hot sign, and it's always on, and the conveyor belt never stops. Fantastic. But give us this day our daily bread, sufficiency, not extravagance. Now, let me say that I do think the Lord Jesus is using bread symbolically as a statement for the basic needs of life. Martin Luther may have exaggerated a little bit, but he said this: bread here is, quote, food, drink, clothes, shoes, house, home, animals, money, goods, a godly husband or wife, devout children, good workers, honest and faithful leaders, good government, good weather, peace, health, law and order, an honorable name, faithful friends, trustworthy neighbors, and things like that. Well, I don't know that the Lord's promised us good weather or even trustworthy friends, but he has promised to give us enough. There is something obscene about American Christians praying for a new Mercedes. Please hear me. I did not say it is sinful to have a Mercedes, but the prayer is not give us this day our daily luxury. It's give us bread. If you have that, great, but don't let it distort you from seeing the value of the miracle of simple bread. We complain because we have so much when we lose a little of what we have, but it's all a matter of perspective. To a starving man, a loaf of bread is as good as gold, but to a man who has mountains of gold, a loaf of bread is as dumb as dirt. But we're praying here that God would keep us alive. See books all the time now, the coming economic collapse, and we're all terrified. And then when things get really, really bad, we make a run on the bank, as if Jesus never told a story about a guy who kept building bigger barns. And he built a bigger barn so he'd have more, and then one day the Lord said to him, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you," and he's dead. The prayer for daily bread is not a prayer against planning appropriately, against all of these things. But the prayer for daily bread is this, that if everything goes away, our God will still be there to provide for us. Right? Again, in the wilderness, Exodus 16 tells us that the children of Israel had enough manna. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my way or not. On the sixth day when they gather what they bring in, it will be twice as much." Why did they get 2 days' worth on the sixth day? Yeah, seventh day was the Sabbath. But then later in verse 19, some of the children of Israel got greedy. They wanted more than daily bread. So, verse 19, Exodus 16, Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. When you try to get more than daily bread, as if it will be your security instead of God, it will breed worms and stink. That old saying that there are no U-Hauls behind hearses. You came naked with nothing into the world, and that is how you will go out. So this is a prayer for basic dependence. Even in Mark 6, this is fascinating. When Jesus sends the disciples out, he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. Don't even take bread with you when you go out, Jesus told his disciples. Why? Because to be a citizen of the kingdom of God in this fallen world is not to be preoccupied with the vain conceit that you can secure yourself. Either your dependence will be on the beneficence of a good God, or you will depend upon your own efforts and die in the process. It is enough that God is there. And he provides us with daily bread. Something interesting. The Jews have a traditional set of prayers called the 18 benedictions, or the Amida. The Amida is a series of 18 prayers they pray. Now, they did it 2,000 years ago, so Jesus, in his day, people would have been familiar with this. The ninth petition of the Jewish 18 benedictions is called the Birkat Hashanah. I want you to listen closely. Now, this is what the Jews would pray at worship. Listen closely to this. Bless for us, Adonai, our God, this year and its crops. Grant us a blessing on the earth. Satisfy us from your bounty. And bless our year like other good years. Blessed are you, Adonai, who blesses the years. Did you see that? Bless for us, Adonai, our God, this year. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? The Jews were praying, give us this year our yearly bread. And Jesus said, no, give us this day our daily bread. It is enough that he provides for us to live here. Here's a fascinating passage. In Proverbs 30, Solomon prays for two things in particular. He prays that he not have too much bread. Watch. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. So make me honest. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Why? Lest I be full and deny you and say, quote, who is the Lord? Do you see that? People with too much bread are tempted to forget God. Solomon literally prays, don't give me too much bread, or I will be tempted to say, who is God? This is why Jesus never said that a rich man can't enter heaven, but he did say it is hard. Why? Because the more bread we have, the less dependent we are. So this is the faith-fueled trust. Prayer, this is a prayer born of certainty. R. Kent Hughes told a story about a lady who was behind in her Christmas shopping, and she went to the store. She needed some cards for family members, and she bought 50 cards, a pack of 50 cards. And she didn't really read them. She just bought them, signed them all, dropped them in the mail, and sent out about 48 of them. She had a couple left over, and she was happy about this. And a day or two later, she was sitting there, and she noticed those extra cards. And she opened it up, and she read it. And inside each card, it said this. This card is just to say that a little gift is on the way. She promised a further present to everyone in her family that never came. Imagine how disappointed they were. God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, ask me for daily bread so I can deny it to you. He promises to provide for our needs. Now, let me just offer a little excursus here. What about people who starve to death? Let's deal with a difficult issue. True or false, there are Christians in the world who pray for daily bread who don't get it and they die. True? Yes. But can I point out that the problem there is not the presence of bread. but the availability of it. There is enough bread on this planet to feed everybody. The problem is that sinful, fallen, human, greedy institutions and individuals keep the bread from coming to the poor. So God has not failed. We have failed, which raises a missionary impulse as well in this. Could it be, if we are aware of the poor, which we must be, that the prayer is this: give us this day our daily bread, and give him daily bread too through me. I will take daily bread to him. This isn't pray, God, magically give us daily bread apart from human effort. You are the means through which he gives it. We don't sit there and say, well, the poor need to pray harder because God said he'll give it. No, you're the way he's going to give it. Right? Give us this day our daily bread. By the way, that's corporate. So I can't pray that with you if I don't help you get it. In 1836, Josiah Conder wrote this: day by day the manna fell, oh to learn this lesson well, still by constant mercy fed, give me, Lord, my daily bread. Day by day, the promise reads, daily strength for daily needs, cast foreboding fears away, take the manna of today. Lord, my time is in your hand, all my sanguine hopes have planned, to thy wisdom I resign and would make thy purpose mine. Thou my daily task shall give, day by day to thee I live. So shall added years fulfill, not my own, my Father's will. Fond ambition, whisper not, happy is my humble lot. Anxious, busy cares away, I'm provided for today. Oh, to live exempt from care, by the energy of prayer, strong in faith with mind subdued, yet elate with gratitude. So that's first. Secondly, this: the prayer for daily bread is a Christ-informed trust that God will nourish our souls. Now, I said earlier that some of the patristic writers spiritualized this and suggested that it can't just be for physical bread. I think that's nonsense. By the way, you might notice that the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer are towards God: the hallowing of his name, the coming of his kingdom, and the completion of his will. The last three are concerning ourselves and our relationships with one another, that we would have daily bread, that we would forgive as we've been forgiven, and that we would not be led into temptation. Do you see that? The first half of the Lord's Prayer is our vertical relationship with God. The second half is our horizontal relationship with each other. You might find it interesting to realize that the Ten Commandments have the same basic scheme. The first four of the Ten Commandments have to do with our vertical relationship with God. The last six have to do with our horizontal relationships with one another: not to murder, steal, commit adultery, these kinds of things. You might be interested to know that when Jesus was asked what is the greatest commandment, he kept the same paradigm: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible is always harmoniously balancing love for God and our relationship with one another, and our internal relationship with ourselves. But the fact that this is a reference to daily bread does not mean it isn't more. Because one of the things that strikes me as fascinating is how often in the New Testament, bread is spiritualized by Jesus. Meaning, he gives it an other than physical meaning. He even rebuked the disciples for not being able to get this. In Matthew 16, Jesus says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples say to him, leaven, you don't have any bread? And it's one of those palm to forehead moments for Jesus. And he said, why can't you see? I'm not talking about bread. I'm talking about the false teaching of the Pharisees. In Matthew 26, Jesus holds up a piece of bread and says, this is my what? Body. By the way, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The Hebrew word there has two basic components. Bet, house of, lehem, leaven, the house of bread. In John 6, the disciples come to Jesus, or the Pharisees do, and they bring up bread. Let's talk about bread. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus then said to them, watch this, his most scandalous statement. Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said, sir, give us this bread. Give us bread, Jesus. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This offended the Jews. The Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Check this out. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. What does it mean then to pray, give us this day our daily bread? Does it not mean that just as the Ten Commandments honor the sacred principle that we must know God and know one another, and just as the structure of the Lord's Prayer honors the great principle that we must know God and know one another, and just as Jesus' own explanation of the great commandment, love the Lord your God and love one another as yourself, honors the principle that we should know God and know one another, so too bread has a dual application. Number one, it is food for our bodies. Number two, it is Jesus for our souls. Brothers, Jesus is daily bread. Jesus is bread to us. Jesus said once, they said, we don't have any food. And he said, my food is to do the will of my Father. This is what's so absurd about the temptation in the wilderness when the devil said, turn that stone into bread. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. We feast on Christ. Your soul needs the bread of Jesus in the exact same way that your body needs physical bread. Without him, you will die. And you will die eternally in hell forever. If you reject the bread that is Christ, then daily bread will profit you nothing, because what does it matter if you save your whole life but lose your soul? Do you see? This isn't a general, innocuous promise that God will just keep us fed. It is a Christ-centered promise that he provides for our bodies, but more so, he has provided for eternal life by giving us Jesus. If Jesus is bread, are you hungry for him? How intensely did you come to him this week? How much did you feed on his word? How much did you feed in prayer? Brothers and sisters in Christ, God has been good to us. He has offered us bread. He has offered us Jesus. Do you know him? Have you taken and eaten and been filled forever. He told the woman at the well, I'll give you water that never, never stops satisfying your thirst. And he told these Pharisees, I'll give you bread, you'll never hunger again. All you have to do is ask. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I need you. I need the bread of life. Forgive me my sins and give me life. I come to you now. Pray with me. Father, I thank you that you have taught us to pray for daily bread. Oh God, we are so wealthy, all of us. Even those who think we aren't, we are wealthy in this world. And God, we thank you for extra bread. But God, help us to see that the great physical blessing of extra bread can blind us to the giver of the gift. God, forgive us our trust in our bank accounts, in our pantries, in our refrigerators. Forgive us not that we have so much, but that we have let so much blind us to the miracle that you are going to keep us alive today. And God, help us to care that our neighbor has bread. God, I pray for the person who does not know Christ, the bread of life, that today they would call on his name and be saved. Oh God, you are so good to us to give us Christ, our bread. May we come to him now. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me explain how this invitation works. I'm going to stand down on the floor. You can walk this aisle. If you are a visitor or guest, you don't have to walk the aisle and join. You can just walk if you would like to pray together. If there's something I can pray for you about. If you'd like to join, this is the time to come as well. Just come and say, I'd like to join this church. This altar is open to you. Sometimes people don't necessarily want to come pray with the pastor, but they'd like to just go forward as a statement of their resolve and dedication and rededication to Christ and pray. There are people in this church who will pray for you as you come forward. I'm telling you that. Who aren't going to gossip about it. They're just going to lift you up in prayer. That's a reason to come. If you need to come this morning for any reason, I want to invite you to come. You can come to me, come to the altar. Let's all stand and sing and you come as the Lord leads. Just step out right now and come as he leads.